May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Palm branches and hosannas made their first advent in Jewish history about 150 years before Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. A hero by the name of Simon Maccabeus had delivered Jerusalem in what was known as the Second Maccabean Revolt. The palms that the people waved as Jesus went by on that donkey were therefore a symbol to the Jews, a symbol of their longing for deliverance and the belief that Jesus would be the one, would be that revolutionary leader who would gain their freedom from Rome. But we know that Jesus was an advocate for peace. He insisted that we turn the other cheek, even 7 times 70. But there were other revolutionary contemporaries at the time of Jesus who were not so nonviolent in their approach. In the Holy Gospel that Pastor Burke just read for us, we meet Barabbas. He is said to have been imprisoned by Luke for insurrection and murder. Was this charge just? Was this freedom fighter a murderer? When fighting for independence or for rights from oppression, there will no doubt be collateral damage, right? It is suspected that the man that walked into that civic center that aided immigrants in their efforts to learn English and obtain citizenship in Binghamton, New York on Friday and killed 13 innocent people and wounded many others physically and psychologically, emotionally and spiritually, was upset and frustrated over his own command of the English language. He may even have been ridiculed by others in that very center. So I ask you, were his acts justified? Did he liberate himself from shame? No, we say, of course not. Cannot be justified. And we are right to condemn his actions and ones like it. But do we not embrace violence as an acceptable means to further our own agenda as a country, as individuals? Is violence ever justified? The release of Barabbas, recorded in 3 Gospels, was questioned by the late theologian and historian Hyman Maccabee. He believes that this was a literary construct which was intentionally designed to create anti-Semitism. And since the first century, he believes that it is this crying for the release of Barabbas that has justified much violence against Jews. Maccabee points out that the choice between the two is a false one, and that Barabbas and Jesus are actually one in the same. Barabbas in Hebrew means Bar, son, Abba, of the Father, son of the Father. And Jesus was known by many to be one who prayed to God and called God Father, as we all know, and we pray that prayer, Our Father. If the people were yelling for Jesus, son of the Father, to be released instead of some mythical rogue killer, then the whole story would change, would it not? Or would it? If we didn't have the Jews or the crowd to blame for Jesus' death, and if the blame lay completely at the feet of Rome, the violence capital of the world, what would that mean for us? Would we stand firm against violence in our schools, in our streets, in our civic centers, in our churches, and in the world? Would that mean we would work to ensure basic human rights for women, for the elderly, for the poor, and for other marginalized and vulnerable groups? Well, according to Josephus, the first century Jewish theologian and historian, we know that there was a successful nonviolent resistant movement during Jesus' life. It seems that Pilate wanted to place Roman standards with the Roman eagle on top of them on the sacred temple mount. And this nonviolent protester organized the people, and the standards were never placed there. Josephus never mentions who this person was, but in a paragraph later, he records the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey and is hailed by the people as the next liberator. He is sentenced to death because he is a threat to the violent culture. He is a threat to coercion. He is a threat to oppression and all that robs life and liberty from others. He is a threat because he does not fight fire with fire. He does not return violence for violence. But instead, he seeks to break the cycle of violence to create a new way. And this new way is a narrow way. It's the way that Jesus traveled, so that we could be free from the cycle of death. To break the cycle, Jesus absorbed the pain of the cross. And he did this out of love for you and for I. He took on the hatred and bitterness, the rage and the poison. In short, he took on our sin. And you and I are full of sin, and we can't get rid of it on our own. So beyond showing us a better way, Jesus also provides for us the way himself. A bridge to God, a way of reconciliation. In an excerpt from Mozart's Requiem, we hear, "Remember, kind Jesus, my salvation caused you suffering. Do not forsake me on that day. Faint and weary, you have sought me. Redeem me, suffering on the cross. May such great effort not be in vain." When the Son of God is thrust on the cross by the Romans, he looks at the crowd, at all of us, and he says, "Father, forgive them." From that cross, Jesus saw all of humanity, of every time and every place. He saw you, he saw me. We were in Jesus' sights. Our sin today, our violent culture, our corporate responsibility in war, our unwillingness to break the violent cycle that surrounds us is what Jesus forgives. Can we take that in? Can we absorb that? Can we appreciate that? Does it change our life? Luther, reflecting on the Passion of Christ, said, "After your heart has thus been firm in Christ, and love, not fear of pain, has made you a foe of sin, then Christ's passion must from that day on become a pattern for your life. Henceforth, you will have to see his passion differently. Until now, we regarded it as a sacrament, which is active in us while we are passive. But now we find that we too must be active, namely in following. If pain or sickness afflicts you, consider how paltry this is in comparison with the thorny crown and the nails of Christ. If you are obliged to do or to refrain from doing things against your wishes, ponder how Christ was bound and captured and led hither and yon. If you are beset by pride, see how your Lord was mocked and ridiculed along with criminals. And if chastity and lust assail you, remember how ruthlessly Christ's tender flesh was scourged, pierced, and beaten. If hatred, envy, and vindictiveness beset you, recall that Christ, who indeed had more reasons to avenge himself, interceded with tears and cries for you and for all his enemies. And if sadness of any adversity, physical or spiritual, distress you, strengthen your heart and say, well, why should I not be willing to bear a little grief when agonies and fears cause my Lord to sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane? He who lies abed while his master struggles in the throes of death is indeed a slothful and disgraceful servant. So then, this is how we can draw strength and encouragement from Christ against every vice and failing. That is a proper contemplation of Christ's passion, and such are its fruits, said Luther. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus' journey to Jerusalem is for us. It was indeed a mission of liberation, a mission of mercy, a mission of pure love. May we never squander our gift of freedom, but live to further the kingdom with all of our being. Amen.